I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
And now Green and Aldama. Oh, you got to call a technical foul. And Taylor Jenkins going to get a timeout, and they are up in Finizi Ransom's face. And now Draymond Green is in there. And now Draymond Green is pushing Desmond Bane. Here we go.
Taylor just fell.
This is all on Finizi Ransom. This is all on Finizi Ransom for being afraid to tee up Draymond Green for putting his hand in Santi Aldama's chest. Then Bane came over to separate him, and Draymond Green went at Desmond Bane. Now Green goes over and shakes his hand.
And Taylor's
this is
down.
On Finizi Ransom.
Taylor's down. He's still down. Taylor Jenkins hurt himself when he fell in the middle of that ruckus there.
Well, he's going to get up hot.
He's going back to the Jason and John Show, live from the Leaders Credit Union Studios. Let Leaders Credit Union champion your financial story at leaderscu.com/ESPN. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Let's go, get some money from the bush. Hell yeah, I make some meals off my tours. Hell yeah, I make some meals off my merch too. I got yellow diamond super saiyan.
This is on Finizi Ransom. This is on Finizi. This is on Finizi Ransom. This is on Finizi. This is on Finizi Ransom.
I'm sure Drew agrees.
Drew Hill. He joins us every Thursday. Covers the Memphis Grizzlies for Daily Memphian. Drew, is it on Finizi Ransom? Is it on Finizi Ransom?
Drew, something's wrong with him.
Is it?
But you knew
is
that
it?
Already.
Is it?
It's a national holiday, which is why John is so fired up today.
Yep.
I'm going to agree and say it's absolutely ridiculous what Draymond Green still gets away with. This is a noted Memphis media member that has been highly opposed to Draymond Green even since the idea that Draymond that was floated this summer was potentially coming to Memphis. Too much baggage. I cannot believe he gets away with some of the stuff that he does. It is wild. And I'm trying to understand why it is him. Is it because he's so unhinged that it's almost so believable that you don't call what you should call in a game? Is that why? Is it because it's like the threat feels real? Like, what is it? Somebody needs to explain to me why one person over and over and over again seems to get the benefit of the doubt when other people do not. We watched Ja Morant get kicked out of an Oklahoma City game for talking to a fan. Like, we've seen people get ejected from games for doing way less than what Draymond Green did last night, and it's bullcrap. I mean, it's just terrible. I don't know how he continues to get away with it. It's wild.
I agree. He intimidates them, right? They don't want him spitting in their face for whatever reason. I mean, but why they've allowed it to get to this level now, it's like they're scared, Drew. But I'm with you. I share the frustration. I think we all do. You know, the ref is watching it. He's looking dead at it. And he's allowing Draymond to ref it himself by putting his hands on something. Yeah, it is.
It's crazy because, again, like, you're right. It's an intimidation thing. but like it's an intimidation thing to the point where it feels real, I guess, like where it feels like there is real danger at play or something. I don't know. Like why, right. Why is it that he intimidates people, but other folks in the league do not, you know, like, damn, like Anthony Edwards should be one of the most intimidating guys in the game, but he's not, you know, he gets called for technical fouls, you know, Draymond Green also gets called for technical fouls, but does it so often that he gets away with a lot more. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's that he's just so out of control that he gets away with it more often than others, and that's why we feel this frustration about it. But it's ridiculous. I mean, you would think the counseling would have helped, right?
Oh, no.
It doesn't seem like it did much of anything.
Yeah, I didn't have high hopes for a 37-year-old man going to counseling and changing his ways at this point in his life.
The way he talked, it was so convincing. Remember, he was a changed man.
Yes, yeah, so right. Changed.
Like,
yes,
don't buy it for a second.
But I've always said, you know, when something in my life, when I'm trying to blame somebody else, I say, "This is Zonfanisi Ransom. This is Zonfanisi Ransom."
I see that one stuck with
you. Do you agree that like the ref is responsible? I think Draymond.
He is, because that's what escalated everything.
Okay,
and then go from there. We can get it goes into the Bane and Draymond.
Yeah. Okay,
it really did. He's right.
It was his responsibility. It was his responsibility to de-escalate the situation. His responsibility.
If he calls the tech there, none of this ever happens.
Right.
Like he should have.
Well, there's like this new missive now, isn't there, from the NBA, Drew? Because y'all are complaining about the scoring and lack of defense, that now they're not calling anything.
I guess. I mean, I have not been one of those folks complaining about the scoring and the lack of defense. I mean, I do wish the game – I wish the officiating wasn't part of the storylines. You know, there's always part of the storylines. I guess that's just basketball in general, but – that part of it is frustrating. I guess this is just how it's going to be. I mean, it's always been this way with Draymond. It's kind of always been a part of the NBA. But, like, it's just interesting. Like, if you go back an era really before I started watching basketball and you ask, you know, and Jason can probably talk about this, like, about the Michael Jordan era, it feels like people weren't talking about officiating the same way that we talk about officiating now. Yeah. Am I wrong?
I don't think so.
Well, no. You know, Jason is like a relic.
To use that, I mean, there have been guys that have been reffed differently. Rodman, a lot of people would tell you, got away. Now, I was a Bulls fan, so of course, once he was there, I was fine with it, but got away with a ton more than he should have. And I don't know, Drew, back to the point, maybe it's because Draymond is already so established, right? And then you've got some younger refs and everything else, and that helps him in terms of that intimidation factor. Whereas with Anthony Edwards and these young guys, you're trying to nip in the bud, right? And say, this isn't going to be you and your career more. And you've got older officials there. But no, I mean, Draymond is a guy like Dennis Rodman that the NBA has officiated differently, allowed him to get away with murder essentially on the basketball court. I mean, it's incredibly frustrating. How about though? The night for Gigi Jackson, I realize, Drew, it comes in a loss. I realize he is getting a ton more opportunity than probably he's going to be get next season, likely. I mean, clearly, with the number of shots and everything else. But what else is there left to say? First, youngest guy to hit 7 threes in an NBA game. You know, he's doing it efficiently. The Euro step last night. I mean, this kid just continues to – I was telling John, it's like, we got to wake up, dude. This kid's special.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way. I've been in early on the just thinking Gigi's awesome train. I mean, everybody did, but like, you know, I think it's important. There's a couple things here. I'll start with the questions, the bad, I guess, if you want to call it bad. It's not really bad, but I just think you're right. Like, given the opportunity that he has right now, I wrote earlier this week, you know, he's taking the same amount of shots that Ja was taking when he was a rookie, essentially, right now, which is wild. And so that obviously is not going to continue. But his efficiency numbers need to stay up on fewer attempts. And it's kind of been streaky. I mean, everybody to some degree is a streaky shooter from the 3-point line in the NBA. So it's understandable. But, like, can he do it with less opportunity, I think, is a real and legitimate question. On the other hand, there's so much reason to be so excited, because I want to see him play in summer league so bad. Like, I want to see it. I don't know if they'll use him or not. I suspect they probably will. because if he just goes out and has a great summer, he's 19 years old, there's a lot of room for improvement. And you factor in, this is what I mentioned this morning, if you factor in the fact that you watch Zaire Williams play with Ja, and, like, he is athletic, right?
Yep.
He can, he's a lob threat. He's just a totally different player. Now, he's not a scorer. He can't really get his own shot the same way Gigi can. But Gigi can do all of the things that Zaire Williams can do, right? Like,
absolutely,
he can do all of those things. And so if it comes easy to Zaire Williams, think about how easy it's going to come to Gigi Jackson next year if he's playing next to Ja Morant. He has a chance to be really, really good, and it's really, really encouraging to me that Ja's out there going, not just because he's from South Carolina, but that Ja's out there going, just wait, like, this kid is legit. Like, Ja knows ball for sure, and I think that Gigi has a chance to be very, very good next year, maybe better than we're even anticipating in this moment.
Absolutely. Talking to Drew Hill, covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. All right, you wrote about DJ Jeffries. And you use that as a piece to sort of slander Penny. There's no doubt about that. Meanwhile, Mississippi State has piss running down his leg against Michigan State, down 20-8.
It was a great piece. It was a great piece.
I'm half joking. I'm not joking about the Mississippi State having piss running down its leg. I mean, I will say they look like a team that has very little experience in the tournament. And that's what happens, right? I mean, you can stay in a program for all you want, but you got to earn your scars in the tournament, or else, you know, it can get ugly. Like, I'm just watching it right now.
It's early,
but, I mean, you can just tell, man. You can just tell. Michigan State's like, this is Tuesday
for
us.
You act like Drew's the Mississippi State beat writer now.
Well, there was a moment where I wondered.
Well, listen, so I went to the SEC tournament last weekend. My sister lives in Nashville. And so I was half visiting her. I had a Grizzlies game off. Chris was doing it. And I used it as an opportunity to go to the SEC tournament. I was like, oh, great. I'm going to write draft stuff because, like, Reed Shepard is awesome. Like, that guy is the real deal. He's going to be a good NBA player. I believe that. Rob Dillingham was there. Dalton Connect was there. I was like, okay, there's an opportunity to write some Grizzlies draft stuff.
Yep.
Kentucky and Tennessee both lost in the first round, and I was sitting there watching DJ Jeffries shut down Dalton Connect, and I was like, well, this is kind of unbelievable. And then just as the tournament was going along, as the opportunity to write about draft stuff had kind of faded, I said, all right, I'm going to shift here and just write about what I'm noticing. And what I'm noticing is, you know, I think I'm not here to try to tell Penny how to do his job, and that wasn't my goal of the column, but my goal of the column was to say, look at these teams that are in positions where they need to win, and they're relying on a lot of guys that have been in their program for a long time. You know, like DJ Jeffries has spent 3 years at Mississippi State now. He's been there with Cam Matthews the whole way, former Olive Branch teammates. There's real chemistry there. Then you go look at Auburn, it's like they've got four-year guys and five-year guys, and Chris Moore's a four-year guy. That was a guy that Penny wanted at one point in time. And, like, he stayed and stayed through the program, where it feels like when you look at what Penny has done, and I'm not knocking it, like, he tried to win with the freshmen. He decided that wasn't the right route. He brought in all these star transfers, which was great, and some of them worked out. And the one season that he had players that had stayed there for a while and had some real continuity on the team was the season that he made the NCAA tournament, when he had DeAndre Williams and he had Kendrick Davis and he had Alex Lomax and, like, whatever. Like, that was the year that he found real success. And so I'm just thinking, like, can Penny get guys to come to Memphis for more than just the NIL money? Can he get guys to come to Memphis that want to be at Memphis, that will stay in his program for multiple years and develop and give him some experienced, like, knows the system, has been there for a while, guys that help them get over the hump? Because Mississippi State had that, and Auburn has that in bunches, right? Like, some of the very best teams in the country have that. North Carolina has it. Houston has it. Like,
yes.
Purdue has it. Like, those are the best teams in the country. Can he find those players? It's hard. Like, it is hard because, you know, Memphis isn't quite on the same stage as maybe Auburn is. But, like, I do think that he can find those players because he has a deep bag here in Memphis. He has kids that he can pull. He has kids that love Memphis. He's got to find those kids, and he's got to keep those kids. And you can't push them all out of the door for more talented players all the time. That's just my thinking.
Yeah.
You know, I could be. It no. may not work out that way, but I just think it's. I think it would be beneficial for him to find some middle ground between. I'm going to bring in these star freshmen that are going to be gone after 1 year, or I'm going to bring in these star transfers, but nobody has any chemistry. We don't know how to play with each other.
Right.
Yeah. By the way, this is another guy. I don't know if you mentioned him in the piece, but Cam Matthews.
Yeah.
You know, he's another great example of that, right? And I remember walking out of the Lander Center, and his dad was kind of like playfully, you know, kind of going at us about we never talk about Cam in that class. And Cam picked up two early fouls in this game and had to go to the bench. And Michigan State opened this thing up to 28.
Yeah.
He got put back in. Mississippi State immediately goes on a 7-0 run. And I think, like, for both of those guys, specifically DJ and Cam, they're at home. You know, Olive Branch, you know, they're at home in Mississippi. For so many years, Memphis, you know, I mean, over the course of 40 to 50 years, what you're talking about is guys who came for more than, you know, money, NIL, whatever, it was playing at home.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in a world where everybody leaves to go to prep school if you're good, you know, I think the question it becomes, can you still have that? Can you still have that Memphis pride? Lomax had it, you know, but was he the last of a dying breed?
Yeah, but, I mean, there are still Cam Matthews out there, guys, that don't necessarily go off to the prep school here in Memphis.
True.
I mean, Cam Jones at Marquette comes out of ECS.
I agree.
He was here the whole time that are worth having.
No question.
By year two, year three, those guys that came up Memphians
absolutely
are performing, you know, are paying off for you.
I think you got to take –
you're right, Drew. It's hard, but you got to find those and get them in there if you're going to keep culture and identity from a year-to-year basis. That's why you lost.
I think
– Your observation's absolutely right, Drew.
Memphis needs to invest in those dudes. And understand that hey, they might not be ready as freshmen, but damn, if they're in a spot sophomore junior, and I've developed them,
but it's hard to keep
here,
them because again, you'd hope Jonathan Lawson was going to be one of those. It's hard to keep them too. You know,
it's a hard balance, Drew. So how do you do it? How do you do it in this day and age? If you know, well, you don't want to just play somebody that can't help you win at that time. You still have a job to do. You know, you can't. You almost. You know. You almost have to borrow from the future you in many ways.
I mean, we'd be paying Drew $2.8 million, you know what I'm saying? If he had all the answers, we could put him over in the spot.
Are you willing to do the job if it comes open?
No, I'm not going to be the University of Memphis.
He's good.
Coach. I'm good.
Are you at the Forum right now?
I am. I'm down here for Colgate and Baylor practice. We just went through Colgate and Baylor interviews. Let me ask you guys a question. I know we didn't get the best draw in terms of interest in Memphis from locals. Is there a game that you are most excited to watch that is taking place in Memphis this weekend?
We mentioned it. I mean, the Texas A&M Nebraska game, and then hopefully a Houston Texas A&M. I don't know. Some might be pulling for Nebraska because of that.
I mean, Baylor New Mexico would be a damn good game.
Baylor New Mexico is a good one.
That'd be a damn good second round game. I mean, Baylor would roll, but it'd be intriguing.
Baylor's interesting because they're young. So I think that the athletic mismatch in this first game is going to be a big problem for Colgate. I don't see Baylor struggling in the first one. But I do think New Mexico is pretty good and just knocked off San Diego State, who we know is really tough, who has some pieces back from last year and made a deep run. And so, yeah, I'm interested in that. I mean, I wrote about Keisei Tominaga at Nebraska. I wonder if Nebraska is going to travel really well.
John says
they
yes.
They have a great fan base.
Yep.
They
white,
do. They
white
have
people.
They do have a great fan base. Like they, I saw them sell out. I saw them sell out their. I saw them sell out the football stadium for the women's volleyball team. Yep.
Like, and they've never won a tournament, so you have to believe that this fan base is super excited.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
they're the last power conference not to do that.
Exactly. Is it like that? Yeah. Like in terms of like programs with any history, it's like them and Boise, right? I mean, I mean, Boise's 0-10, and that's a long ass streak.
Yeah, that's pretty brutal. But I mean, 0-7 isn't much better. But like this might be the year, and they've got the guy, and it'll be really cool to watch. So. Keisei Tominaga, the Japanese Steph Curry, as they call him, I learned a little bit about him. I talked to some Japanese basketball reporters and who were kind of up to date on his life, because in Japan, like, sports icons are just huge, like Ichiro and, oh man, what's going on with our guy Shohei right now?
Boy.
But, like, you know, it's they're massive, right? And we saw what kind of media following Yuta had when he first got to Memphis. I mean, he was Memphis Hustle practices were packed out.
Not so much the
reporters.
Second time.
I was gonna say, are they still around?
Have they moved on? Have they moved on to Tominaga?
Here and there.
Okay.
Here and there.
They know he's out after the season. They're not moving back to Memphis.
I think a lot of them have moved on to Rui because he plays a much bigger role in Los Angeles, to be honest. But they also say, like, Keisei apparently is just as big, if not bigger now, for Nebraska. And he played in the FIBA World Cup. I learned this by reading an ESPN story, by Myron Metcalf, I believe, who does a great job. When they played in the FIBA World Cup and they beat some random team, Cape Verde or something, it was the most watched program in Japan in the entire year, over everything else that had aired in Japan that year. The Japanese basketball national team was the number one thing that was watched. And Keisei Tominaga scored 22 points in that game. And there is, like, a real, real mania in Japan to watch this guy. And he's now, like, they've already announced that the game here in Memphis is going to get broadcast for free on their NBA channel. That's
wow.
Over
there. Wow.
That's so
awesome.
Like,
oh,
that's they're awesome. Like, they're putting Memphis on a massive stage this weekend. Like, I don't think people can really comprehend how big of a deal this guy is in Japan. He is a huge deal in Japan. And so that'll be cool. I mean, it'll be interesting to see if we get any Japanese fans here or people that have come here to see it. That would make for a great story. Maybe I can find somebody that did that, but, it's a big deal. So I'm excited to watch that game. I do think A&M's the better team. I think A&M's tougher. I think A&M's going to win. I would love to see A&M and Houston square off. I think Wade Taylor's really tough.
Yep.
He can maybe handle those Houston guards. But I think if you're in Memphis and you had to pick a team, your heart should probably be with Nebraska, given that we didn't get the huge crowds we thought we were going to get here in Memphis for the tournament, but we are getting the global stage all because of Nebraska.
Yeah. I got with the Shohei's interpreter. We put a lot on Texas A&M +2.
I thought y'all were working together.
we used Shohei's credit account, and we got $2 billion on Texas A&M +2, but it's not Shohei. It's just the interpreter. Okay, it's just him.
Yeah,
and
he's bad at it.
It ain't hard to figure out. There's only two scenarios. One is he used Shohei's name to get the account.
Shohei's name is on the account.
Or Shohei is betting, and he is just making the interpreter the fall guy. There's only two possible scenarios.
Yep. Well, I kind of tend to agree with that. First of all, they messed up because they should have just doubled down. They should have just, you know, bet the $4.5 million on Texas A&M.
Absolutely.
You know, and then they wouldn't have had any of the debts, so they would have never 100%. Gotten caught.
Do you have Texas A&M? Have you bet them?
No. I don't think I've bet anything in Memphis. But
what is that, some principle? Like, you're just not going to bet a game that's in Memphis?
Like, yeah.
I just don't know if I can do that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm allowed to do that. I think I am, but I don't know, so I just stay away from that.
I'll be honest. Like, I have those, like, internal you know, because I do cover these teams and write about these teams for the Daily Memphian, for example. I talk about them here, but that's less sort of like in terms of the standard. But I really don't think it's that big of a deal as long as you don't let it sort of impact what you would say or your report. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think it has to be, you know, a big ethical issue. But I understand
that
it's...
I think it would be an ethical issue if I were to bet on Memphis Grizzlies games. That would be a huge...
Yes. I mean, I could see that. I could see that.
I don't even touch the NBA in general. Why would I do that? That doesn't make... I don't even do anything. Like, I just stay far, far away from the NBA. But I don't know. It's an interesting question, and it does... I do think I said this before, but I feel like sports betting is like Netflix. I've heard this another place, and I really liked it. I wish I could remember where I heard it. Sports betting is like Netflix, right? When it came out, it was like the DVDs and everything, and they would send it to your house, and it was kind of like a cool idea. And then it blew up when the streaming happened, and now the future of watching movies is Netflix. It is Hulu. Like, I feel like that's where we're headed with sports media. Like, sports media 5-10 years from now, it may just be sports betting media. That might be what it is.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to be doing it. You know, who do you know now that doesn't watch Netflix or doesn't have a streaming service?
Right.
No one.
It's true. Right?
Well, yeah, it is. I mean, it's, you know, the leagues continue to, I don't remember who it was. Was it the NBA this week that said that they're not going to have in their games and league pass, they're going to have a live betting component? Did I read that? It's the NBA with something, right, Drew?
I don't recall. I don't know about that. I don't think I've seen that.
All right, well, I mean, you're not doing a good job.
Let me ask you if you've seen this. Did you see Caleb Williams throw the ball 100 yards in the air yesterday at his pro day? I'm exaggerating a little bit, but not much.
I'm choosing not to get overexcited.
You're not getting caught up, huh? Yeah.
I do hope that he is great. I found it fascinating that all-pro corner Jalen Johnson is on Kay Adams' morning show and says, basically, don't bring the Hollywood stuff into the locker room. You better be ready to work. So, you know, I would have hoped the Bears would have had that under control by now, but apparently no one has said anything, so that's great.
Nah.
We already have players on the team frustrated.
Well,
but you know what? I hope it works out. I hope he's great. I think they did the right thing by trading Fields. I know that the return wasn't what people might have thought, but I think it honestly, more so, that just tells you what people in the league think about him versus what people in the media think about him. And
yep.
I think that there's a difference there.
Uh-huh.
Like, fans watch it. They see him as this exciting player. Coaches analyze it. They see it as not efficient enough. And I think that was, in the end, what the difference was.
Yeah, so the NBA, the league pass, is not only going to have the betting lines available, you can click through while you're watching a game to bet on the app.
All in now.
With the betting partners. So,
like, that's the way we're headed, man.
Yeah,
we're
like,
just going to be going in that direction.
I mean, yeah, the NFL, you don't think Sonny Tiggs is going to offer the same thing? You're out of your damn mind. And they should. I mean, you know, look, I think a day of reckoning could be coming. It worries me a little bit. But I also think, like, maybe the more that it becomes less, you know, taboo and the more, you know, education that's available, that it doesn't have to be. But I also understand that, you know, there was a time where cigarette companies could advertise freely and, you know, it had a devastating impact to people. Like, I get that, you know. So all I ever stress is that people do as much education, research on what it is and understand the harm potentially and keep it fun. I mean, I think that's the best I can do. I know everybody's not going to listen to that.
Take your own advice, John.
Yeah.
Take your own advice.
No, it's not. It's not fun. Boise State last night was not fun. I did not enjoy that in any way, shape, or form. Anyway, man, appreciate the time.
Thank you
as
so
always.
Much, Drew.
Enjoy it.
Great
see
work,
you.
Man.
I'll see you down there tomorrow. You going to be at A&M Nebraska?
Yeah, I will be. I'll be down here. I'll catch up with you guys. I'm hoping to just walk around and find some interesting people and write some stories people in Memphis might care about, even though their teams aren't here.
Well, I'll be there.
No doubt you will.
There's no doubt you're going to find an interesting person.
But don't be there. John, though.
So, right, thanks, brother.
Thanks, man.
All right, see you guys.
Yep.
Bye.
He is Drew Hill, covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. Yeah, that Shohei Ohtani, we got to talk about that. We'll do it.
Oh, I figured it was high on your rundown list.
I mean, this is even Jordan's bro.
I'm sensing you believe it might have been a Shohei.
Well, I mean, I think it's on the table.
I think it's the interpreter.
I mean, look, there's, again, only two possibilities here, okay? Michigan State up 11 on Mississippi State, 29-18. I mean, it just kind of is going the way I thought it might go. It would take, like, a Hubbard going off or 30 type of game to, you know, keep this close.
I'll be honest with you. I'm surprised Michigan State got, you know, 30 points here with 2 minutes left in the first half. I thought it'd be a little bit more low scoring than this.
Yeah, I mean, I think Cam Matthews having two fouls.
Early.
Yeah, I think that kind of really changed their ability to defend. We'll see what the second half looks like, but, you know, you're down double digits, right? You're not within striking distance, and they're kind of getting everything they want near the rim. I mean, you know, you're doing the job defensively, I would say, for the most part, given what you have, but only 18.
That's nasty work, Jason, as the kids say.
Yep.
So gonna have to find some offense somewhere, man. Gonna have to find it. Maybe it's Hubbard. Hubbard for three. Got it. Good. That's what it's got to be.
And Duquesne off and out running early on BYU.
How about that?
A little upset.
And that was one that I thought about.
I asked you before we started this.
But the coach announced he was retiring. So I'm like, there's no way. Like, there's no way they're gonna win this game. And it's still early. I mean, it's 12-5.
It was 7-0 though. Yeah, it was 12. They're still up 12-5. They're still up 7.
So it is.
It's very early.
But that's the beauty of March. We have a ton of games kicking off, tipping off. What's the next one? I can't read military time. I'd have to pull it up somewhere else. But we got two going on right now, and we'll have more throughout the day.
Yeah, Akron-Creighton is 12:30 tip on TV.
Akron-Creighton?
Yeah.
And then Long
Beach State, Arizona is at 1.
And then we have...
I mean, Wagner, North Carolina, 145. You want me to go down the list?
Yeah.
Moorhead State, Illinois will be 210.
And then South Carolina, Oregon at 3.
Yes. Correct. Okay. That's a TNT game.
All right. Will you turn it on when you get home, or will you?
I think that one you've piqued my interest now in that one, and knowing that you have a little something riding on it, it always gets me a little extra excited.
A little sweat.
Yeah, I might sweat it out with you, just with, you know.
Yeah, it's nice. You know, I love sweating up other people's wagers. I really do. Like, I ain't got no money on this crap.
Exactly. Exactly. It's a better feeling.
It is, man.
Less stressful.
You don't win, but you don't lose. So and you can
encourage.
Yeah, exactly. You can root.
And then pick you up after you lose.
We'll get into the Shohei Ohtani story. We'll get into
Caleb Williams workout, bro.
Caleb Williams apparently threw the ball the entire length of the field.
I tell you what, there was a Bear there that absolutely loves him. I don't know if you saw it. Yeah. He is now a current Bear. Was there to watch.
Yeah, we'll talk about all that and more on the other side. Stick around, Jason and John. Are you trying to fam ESPN?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.